This podcast is part of the Zio to Hero Podcast Network.
AvenuePodcast.net.
Hello, all my beautiful people. It's time for another episode of If You Give a Dad a Podcast. And I know what you're sitting there thinking. You're thinking to yourself, whose voice is this sultry sound coming through to my ear holes? That's not Jared. That's right. It is I, Nick. Nick Helms, in case you didn't know who I am the head of Original Geek Comics, who Jared works for. Unfortunately, the reason why you're not hearing Jared right now is that he's down with the sickness, not in a cool way, like Disturbed, but he has the sickness, can't get rid of it, and his voice is just not working, for him. So he has asked me to do this intro and the outro for this week's episode, and so I said, sure, why not? I guess I'll do that. Send me $500 and I'll get that taken care of. So hopefully the check is in the mail. And so that's why I am here. So this week's guest, though, will be interviewed by Jared. You're luckily he recorded that earlier this week. And this week's guest ghost, he's a ghost, is Oakla Fans Wrestler of the Year, Cappuccino Jones. Cappuccino Jones, great wrestler. And he was recently seen on AEW, and he also works with WFC, and so much more things here about Cappuccino Jones, but let's get this show on the road, shall we? All right. So without further ado, take it away, Jared.
If you give a dad a podcast.
You're bloody welcome.
You know.
Hey, Dad.
If I get my hand stuck in a pickle jar, I'm straight up bull in a china shop, just swinging around.
Started writing songs when I was about 12 or so.
Seriously?
They're retrofitting me now.
And I'm like, yes, finally.
I've also had the opportunity to go train with Royce Gracie and Dan Severin.
Wow.
I like that. That's different. Stands out.
That day I took my very first bump and it was fun.
There's only one section to go to first. Yeah. Toys.
Bro.
I was like, no, man, surely this guy's not booked out that long.
I haven't laughed that hard since I was a little girl.
What?
Man, this guy will shut up.
And just a reminder before we get started here, make sure that you like, share, and subscribe to iGadap wherever it is you're listening to. Hit that notification bell so you are notified when a new episode drops. Also, make sure that you go out there and rate and review this episode. Tell me what you think of it. And the more people that do that, the more likely I am to be recommended to somebody else. Now, on to the show. All right, everybody. This one is going to be a ton of fun, I think. I got to talk to this guy a few minutes ago before we got started, and I've met him at Diamond State Wrestling, actually. He is an Oklahoma-based wrestler who was recently seen on AEW. He is the guy that everyone that I've had on has told me he's the one to watch out for. He's the master of the Decaffeinator, and he was 2023 Oklahoma Fans Wrestler of the Year. And I am talking about the Cold Brew Cappuccino Jones. Man, how are you doing?
Man, I am great. I'm doing a lot better after that great introduction. The master of the Decaffeinator. Wow, I'm about to brand that.
There you go, man.
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
Doing good. You know, just out here talking to you, ready to do my show, having a good time.
Yeah, sounds great, man.
Yeah, definitely. So, like I said, so you're an Oklahoma-based wrestler, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now I know that you did some stuff with Justin Lee. You did some work with the Hunger Dojo. Is that where you actually got your start at?
So I actually got my start a little bit before that.
Okay.
But it wasn't consistent. So I met these two wrestlers who also wrestle in Oklahoma named Riley Grin and Titan Yin. And they're both younger than me. You know, in the introduction you said these are a lot of people tell you I'm the guy to watch out for. Well, the guy who is the guy to watch out for, is telling you to watch out for these guys.
All right.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it was, they were about like 14 and 16 at the time, and I was 21.
Okay.
And they just had an open ring.
Hmm.
Yeah. So they just had an open ring, in this little shed. Felt like, you ever played, the TNA video game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like the armory.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah. Cool. It felt like Humble Beginnings, but yeah, it was like a little tiny 16 by 16. So I got my start, like my first ever, like stepping in a ring, like learning everything like there, but uh-huh. It was really inconsistent. And we were kind of just like going, there was no training process. Right. Granted, like got a lot of work done and I learned a lot, definitely got a foundation there, but yeah. It kind of just, I think they ended up, their parents ended up selling the ring and stuff happened with like the building they're renting out. So, it kind of just stopped.
Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't train for about like 2-3 months after that. And then eventually, I found out about the Hunger Dojo, and then I really started like training again and getting my foot in. I was a little rusty at first, but it came back. So, you know, yeah. so easy. And, yeah. And then eventually I was like, okay, I'm ready to make my debut, and the rest was history.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I've actually had, Justin on here. Actually in next month will be the fourth time that he's been on the podcast and everything. Man. So yeah, dude brings a wealth of knowledge when it comes to wrestling. And if you want to talk to him about Batman, we did almost 3-hour episode.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He has a lot of Batman inspired gear.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. Yeah, no, yeah, his mind is honestly so, so advanced when it comes to just psychology and, you know,
right.
Like ways, like that's what he really taught me. So I really value him for that. He really taught me how to think about, like, why am I doing this?
Right.
And, you know, how's this going to, you know, benefit me or my opponent or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. He, when it comes to this side of it, he's helped me out a lot with, like, even new ways of looking at advertising for the podcast. He's like, you know what? Tag some of those people that we talk about in the show, and then that'll get more eyes on it as well. And, you know, I was like, well, you know, that's good. You know, that's a good idea. And so he's kind of helped me out. He was one of the first ones that I had on my podcast when I was still super young or super new and super nervous about doing this show. And then he just kind of set me at ease, you know, and kind of showed me. He doesn't do podcasts, but he kind of showed me the ropes on, you know, how to talk to these different people on here and just kind of chill out and just have a conversation.
The guy just does it all.
He does.
He's a businessman.
He is. He is.
So yeah. So that doesn't surprise me at all. That's really cool though.
Oh yeah. So what would you say is probably your first memory when it comes to wrestling?
My very first memory when it comes to wrestling is WWE All-Stars.
Okay.
I wasn't a fan. I knew about WWE. I knew about The Undertaker, John Cena, you know, because I would just see them on posters and stuff. But I never really, like, gave it the time of day.
Right.
One day, I used to go to my cousin's house in Oklahoma City, like, every summer when I was a kid and stay there for the whole summer.
Mm-hmm.
One of the summers, he puts on WWE All-Stars, the demo. And, you know, in that demo, you can only play with Rey Mysterio and Ultimate Warrior. Yeah. So we end up just playing it every day. And I'm just like, man, this is so fun. I'm playing with Rey Mysterio every day.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, this is so fun. So then after that summer's over, you know, that was on his PS3. I had an Xbox and I had no wrestling game. So I go to GameStop and I buy SmackDown versus Raw 2009. It was outdated at the time, but it was all I could afford.
Still a good game.
Yeah, great game. But I was thoroughly disappointed that they weren't huge and flying 20 feet into the air. I was like, what? The regular, you know?
Yeah.
So I ended up playing SmackDown vs. Raw 2009, and I ended up enjoying that. And I take it over to my best friend's house, and come to find out he's a wrestling fan too. And like, we were like super best friends, like we're still best friends to this day. That's but cool. I just didn't know he was a wrestling fan.
Huh.
It was just never like something we ever talked about, you know?
Yeah.
So we found out I had the game. We started playing it every day. He was kind of giving me like a, a little rundown on wrestling, like, all right, this guy, you know, this is Randy Orton, this is what he's about, you know, this is John Cena, you know, he's the best, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
And then one day he was like, you know, you want to watch Monday Night Raw tonight? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I didn't really know what to expect, you know, but I loved the games, and I felt like I just loved wrestling, you know, but like I still hadn't, you know, watched a full episode. So
right.
I was like, this is the moment of truth. Let's see what this is all about. And the first episode of Monday Night Raw I happened to watch is a Monday Night Raw where Rey Mysterio beats The Miz for the WWE Championship after CM Punk leaves.
Okay.
What, like, it's such a spicy episode. The same episode where CM Punk returns and debuts Cult of Personality.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So much was going on that episode. I remember all the matches I watched on that first episode of Raw. I remember watching Kofi Kingston versus Alberto Del Rio.
Okay.
I believe Dolph Ziggler faced Zack Ryder. And, like, I believe Hugh Jackman was in that episode. I think that was when he punched Dolph Ziggler. I don't know, though.
Okay. All right.
But it was around that time frame, you know, Awesome Truth time frame, you know. This was back when Alberto had the Money in the Bank, you know.
Okay.
This is a while ago. And yeah, I remember seeing Rey Mysterio, like the Rey Mysterio and the Miz match. That was the first time I was like ever like, ooh, one, two, you know, going through all the highs and lows, the emotions. And then seeing Rey Mysterio like win the title, the first wrestler I ever played with in All Stars, you know,
it was
such like a full circle moment for me. And I was like, at that moment, after like the episode was over,
mm-hmm.
I was like, this is what I'm going to do with my life. Like, I'm going to be a WWE superstar. Like, I just knew it, you know, cool. And it just never left me. And I was 11 years old.
Wow.
But no one ever talks about how John Cena beats him later that night.
Right.
Like, that made no sense. I was so mad. I hated John Cena for a couple years. I'm not going to lie. It took me about 2015 to forgive him.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, yeah, it took you about 4 years then.
Yeah. Every time I thought of him, I was so happy when The Rock beat him at 28.
Oh, that's great.
And then when Brock returned and F5'd him the next night, I was like, finally, my prayers are being answered.
Yeah. And then he just manhandled him. Was it SummerSlam, wasn't it?
SummerSlam, yeah.
He just threw him around the ring. That's where the Suplex City came from.
Yeah.
So. That was a good time. That was a good time from it. That was so I was watching a lot of TNA during that time too, because that's when they were probably at their peak, was right around that time.
Yeah, TNA was great.
Yeah. So,
man,
I do have to ask, where did you get the name Cappuccino Jones?
A lot of people ask me that. So one day, you know, I'd already decided I was going to, you know, I'm going to be a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm still fairly little, you know, probably like 13, 14 years old. And I'm doing my math homework. I'm at my brother's house and I'm watching Jimmy Neutron. It's just on in the background, you know, I'm trying to focus on my homework. And then all of a sudden I hear Cappuccino Jones. I'm like, whoa, it's like the world just froze. Now it was just a light bulb moment. And I was like, that's going to be my name.
Oh, that's cool.
That's going to be my name. Yeah. And then, and it just never left. And like, when I started training and everything, like, I was just Cappuccino Jones. I was like, this, we're riding with it.
Yeah. Wow. And it's worked, you know. I mean, you've got all these cool moves that go along with it. You know, you got the half and half, you know, you got the decaffeinator, you've got all these great things. I mean, you can have fun with what you're actually doing because you can come up with all these different things to go along with it.
No, for sure. And that's what I love about it. You know, and at first, actually, I didn't want to be a coffee guy.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of like afraid that people would look at it as like a joke. You know, right. I wouldn't be taken seriously. You know, I always say to people, especially like guys my age or like starting, like, and I think just people in general in professional wrestling, like, we can't be afraid to just make fools of ourselves.
Yeah.
We can't be afraid to be laughed at. We're already in our underwear in front of, you know, like.
True. Yeah.
Like, you know, so I think I was just kind of like in that mentality of like, oh, no, I want to be taken seriously. Like, of course, like, you do want to be taken seriously, but, you know, when you're starting off, you're just experimenting, like, you never know what's going to stick.
Right.
You know, yeah. So you never know what's going to, you know, what's going to do it for you. So, so yeah, at first I was like, I don't know if I want to be a coffee guy, but I do like the name though. The name's not going, you know,
yeah.
But, and then, you know, like the more I thought about it, I was just like, I got it, you know, like I got to go all in, you know, coffee. And like, who doesn't like coffee?
Right. Yeah. I mean, my wife, you know, that's like her love language is coffee. So.
Yeah. The world runs on caffeine.
I mean, it's true. Well, and, you know, I mean, it's funny because, you know, Stone Cold got his name from, I think, his tea. Like, his wife was like, oh, you better drink that or it's going to be Stone Cold, you know? And so, you know,
wow.
You never know where the name is going to come from, you know? So, I mean,
yeah,
just you got to have an open mind and, you know, an imagination to keep it going. And
for sure.
Yeah, definitely feels like you've got that going for you for sure. I mean, I love everything that I've seen. And like I said, I've had a lot of different guys on here and I've asked, you know, who do you like wrestling? Who do you, who should you be looking out for? And your name has popped up a lot in that conversation.
Well, man, I'm so grateful. All glory to God for real. Never, it's just unreal to just be, that the fact that I'm doing this, the fact that I'm just, you know, living my childhood dream, and I'm so, it's such a blessing and a privilege.
Yeah.
And the fact that I'm able to see, you know, progress in it, you know.
Right.
It's just even like the cherry on top, you know, because even if it wasn't, even if I was the worst wrestler, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, I would probably still be doing it just out of my love for it, you know. So it's really just nothing but God, nothing but just blessings. And definitely. Yeah, I'm extremely grateful.
So who would you say that you draw influence from when it comes to your character and even your in-ring style?
That's a great question. So I've came to find out that I have a certain way of moving in the ring. And like, I learned this recently,
mm-hmm.
that a lot of people say that like I move very smooth, like in the ring, like, I don't know, the way I, like, slide and just the way I sell, like, you know, it's just, it's very unique and it's very just, like, distinct to me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know where that came from, but, you know, when I was watching as a kid, I really liked selling. I really loved to watch Brock Lesnar selling, Dolph Ziggler selling, Shawn mm-hmm. Michaels. I just loved seeing guys flop around. It was just the cool, it was just the coolest thing ever. my in-ring style, I would say like where I draw inspiration the most, Shawn Michaels for sure. Okay. I know that's like a generic one, but I mean it's a given, you know. He's just,
it's
so
still a good,
good
one to have.
Yeah, he's so good. It's just hard not to.
Yep.
Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
He's actually my favorite of all time.
Oh, okay.
Ray was the first one I ever watched me, probably, like, you know, he's the one that got me to do it, but Brock is like the one where I'm like, man, he's just my dream match, favorite of all time.
Right.
And I mean, I'm not a powerhouse. I'm not suplex sitting people, but I think just when in the little things with Brock, like just, I really admire his quickness. You know, he is like a lightning bolt. Like
right.
when he hits the ropes, you know, his intensity. So right. I really like that. Ricky Steamboat, another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ricky Steamboat. Randy Macho Man Savage.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said his name like that. Macho Man Randy Savage. I definitely noticed. I was like, oh, no, that's off. Okay, yeah. Macho Man. Man, there's so many. I feel like it switches every month. I'm watching some. Nowadays, a lot of Terry Funk.
Okay.
Love Terry Funk. He's just, I love the way he brawls. I love the way he always has his hands up. And,
yeah,
you know, I just love his fighting spirit.
Right, right.
I can go on and on and on, but those are just, you know, those are just the big ones.
Yeah. Well, and I was talking to some of my friends the other day, and we got to talking about Terry Funk and stuff. dude was ripped back in the day.
Right.
And man, he could go, you know, and I mean, most people only remember him from maybe like the Attitude Era, you know, where he came out with, you know, the chainsaw and all that stuff. But yeah, watching some of that older stuff, man, he was amazing.
Yes. And that's what I'm just now realizing.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to lie to you. You know, I've always liked Terry Funk.
Right.
But I would never go to Terry Funk for film study or anything, because when I was growing up, the Terry Funk I knew was like
hanging out with Mick Foley.
Yeah, 90s. Terry Funk, you know, yep, in the striped tights and the t-shirt. Yep. He only did extreme stuff, you know?
Right.
But just now, recently, I've been seeing all these clips on Twitter of Terry Funk versus Abdullah the Butcher and Terry Funk versus Stan Hansen. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is better than everything in the world right now.
Well, I mean, you know, you find some of that old stuff, and it's good to find that, because then you can bring it back, and it's almost like a breath of fresh air when you see these people bring in these older gimmicks and these older moves that you don't see people wrestle this way anymore. And so exactly, it's nice to have people that actually go back and have an appreciation for that and bring it to the wrestling fan of today.
Exactly. And that's where, honestly, I think that's where I would love to lie. I like to, a lot of people have compared me to like a golden era type wrestler.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a compliment, because that's my favorite era.
Yeah.
You know, it was just so like larger than life. And, you know, everyone had such unique styles.
Right.
You know, like there was Macho Man, then there was Hogan, then there was Steamboat, like JYD, you know, like, mm-hmm, and even like, and even not like the WWF guys, like there was, you know, Jerry Lawler, you know, Memphis, and
yep,
like everything was just so like, you know, just so original. And I think a lot, I love pro wrestling today, you know, it's on fire, especially now, but
right,
I feel like I see a lot of the same stuff. You know, I feel like everybody wants to wrestle like Will Ospreay, or everyone wants to wrestle like Moxley, and those guys are great, you know, but
mm-hmm,
you know, we just gotta, we gotta add to the canvas and not just paint over it.
Yeah. Not everything has to be blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. And then I like that, you know, that you've got to bring all the different mixes into it to make it a picture.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when it comes to your character, who would you say are some of your influences?
Oh yeah. So for Cappuccino Jones, I get a lot of influence from a lot of Black tonic films.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm saying that word right. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
There's probably going to be made a meme out of this, but it's like Black Satanic.
Okay.
You know, it's like a category of movie, but it's basically like old, it's like old, like Black detective movies, you know, 70s films, really soul funky. You know, I get a lot of that. I get a lot of inspiration from that.
Okay.
A lot of inspiration from a lot of music influences, like Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Kanye West. Just when it comes to just like the fashion of Cappuccino Jones, I really want to, because I mean, I love fashion. I love just wrestlers who always looked different, because to me, that's what got my attention.
Right.
Like when I saw Jeff Hardy for the first time, I was like, "Whoa, you don't look like everyone else."
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
And that's what was cool to me. You know. So I want to do that. I want to, you know, have my own look. Even if you just look so different, where people are almost like, "What are you wearing?" Like, I think that's better than just looking like the next guy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I get a lot of influence from a lot of film. I try my best to look outside of wrestling and just look in art. Because there's so much, you know, so much inspiration out there just waiting to be used.
Definitely.
I get a lot of inspiration from, I know there's a lot. And my mind is just like, my mind is just racing through all of them right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I might randomly come back later on in the combo and be like, oh yeah, this.
Oh yeah, it's totally fine. You know,
yeah.
I mean, this is known as the podcast about nothing. So, you know, you can, these conversations can go all over the place.
You definitely will with me. It's the caffeine.
Do you prefer to be a heel or a face?
I prefer to be, it really doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
Back a couple months ago, I would have said one or the other.
Yeah.
But I'm learning more and more as I wrestle and as I get deeper into the industry that and get more experience that I'm the same person, good or bad.
Yeah.
What you see is what you get. Either way, someone's getting knocked out with a shot of espresso.
There you go.
Or should I say they're getting, I'm going to wake them up. Someone's getting awakened with a shot of espresso. But, you know, both are fun. I love to be faced because, you know, who doesn't like being cheered? Who doesn't like, you know, people on their side?
Right.
Yeah. And I'm a natural face for sure.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Definitely, you know, I just have that. People just want to cheer for me. I hear that all the time. Like people just give me, I just have a natural sympathetic face.
Yeah.
you know, so I'm a natural face. I'm just a good guy, you know, good guy at heart. You know, I've never really been a jerk, a bully or anything. You know, I'm a pretty cool. So.
Right on. Yeah.
Yeah. But being a heel is fun too because,
yeah,
you know, you can really just have fun. But my thing is when I'm a heel, I don't want to be cheered. I want you to really hate me. You
right.
Know?
Right.
I want you to really hate me. Like, otherwise, I'm not doing my job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I told somebody this a few weeks ago on the show, but I've always liked this. There's a couple of wrestlers that, actually took it as an insult when people cheered for them when they were a heel, you know, and one of them was Edge. You know, he made sure that people did not like him, you know, whenever he was at his height. He's one of the best heels that was in the business.
For sure.
Randy Orton's another one that's like that. You know, I mean, he did things that there's no way you could cheer for him. You know, Chris Jericho, one of my all-time favorite wrestlers.
Oh, for sure.
Reading his books, there's one of the stories that he told in there about he was in an elevator with this guy and his son. And he was like, hey, my son's a big fan of yours. Could he have your autograph? And he completely just ignored them the entire time they were in that elevator together. And he was like, you know, I felt so bad doing that. He said, but I can guarantee you that they weren't cheering for me that night. You know, you know, and he would go above and beyond. And I love that whenever they will do that, you know, they take pride in being a heel, you know, that is them. MJF, you know, I love his heel work, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I totally agree with you. You don't want people to cheer. I mean, you're doing your job if they're not, you know, when you're a heel.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And it helps the face.
It does. Yeah.
It helps the face, you know, because if I'm a heel and they're cheering for me and they're cheering for the face, they don't care who wins.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Of course they might want, some people might want one or the other to win more, but you know, I like that. I like the method acting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, it makes it, story is such a big important part when it comes to wrestling. And so you're really harming the story, you know, if you're muddling that line between the heel and the face there, you know. And so whenever you have people that legit hate you because you're supposed to be the heel, it enhances that story so much more.
Exactly. And it's just, yeah, you know, and you don't have to go out and you know, do 1,000 things and kill yourself. You know, you can just stare like Roman Reigns.
Yep.
He just talks. He'll talk crap. You know. I remember his match with Sammy at Chamber. He was just talking to Sammy, talking to his wife, and everyone hated him.
Yep. Yeah. He was so good at that. You know, I mean, even in the Cody match, you know, you'd sit there and you'd hear him just talking to him, just talking trash. You know, taking his time. You know, it was methodical. He was dissecting everything that he was doing. And like you said, you don't have to do a lot. Sometimes it's just a little look and it can just get that crowd going.
Yeah, for sure.
So do you have a dream match?
My dream match? My dream match would probably be Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
Number one. Even if I get destroyed, which I probably would. It's a given. It's Brock.
Yeah.
I just have to, you know?
Yeah.
I just got it. It's a match I got to have. Things just get so real when he walks in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I already know if I saw him walking down, heard the music, I would have the biggest gulp of my life.
Yeah.
So I would be instantly nauseous, but I'd be like, let's go. I'm ready to do this. So he's definitely up there. Rey Mysterio.
Okay, yeah.
Rey Mysterio, if it wasn't for him, I would not be here.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I definitely have to before he retires. I believe I can. Yeah, definitely. And you know, yeah, he's on my right shoulder.
Yeah.
I have to wrestle him.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I have to wrestle him.
Yeah. So you have a Ray tattoo on, you said, your left shoulder?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
So yeah, I got Rey Mysterio's mask tatted on my right shoulder. This was before I even started training. I just did it because he was the first wrestler I ever watched, and I knew wrestling was just going to be a part of my life forever.
That's cool.
Another one. Let's see. Are these just ever or like currently?
You can do dream matches. Can be, you know, ones that it can be anybody. It can even be people who have retired or gone or something like that. I mean, people that you wish and love that you would love to wrestle.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Brock, Ray, Ricochet.
Yeah.
That's a random one, but I would love to wrestle Ricochet.
That would be fun.
Too Cold Scorpio.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I would love to wrestle Triple H.
Oh, yeah.
The Undertaker.
All right.
Let me give you one more. I'm having a lot of fun.
All right.
Let's see. Eeny, meeny, miny. There's a lot up there. Okay. Let's see. It's the caffeine. It just got my brain just going. And there's this one. Okay. Last dream match. Let's do Rob Van Dam.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied.
Rob is definitely a good one. I've had Tony Snow on here, and we've talked about Rob Van Dam because I guess they've met a few times, and I think he'd just be a cool guy to hang out with.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's just a guy that he's just so creative.
Right.
And like my favorite wrestlers, or at least the ones that inspired me the most, and the type of wrestler I hope to be, if I'm not, you know, on top of the top of the top, like we all want to be, at the very least, I would love to just have the same effect that Rob Van Dam, that Jeff Hardy, that Rey Mysterio, even Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Wrestlers who, no matter what they were given or who, like where they were, you can tell that they were being themselves, and you can tell that they were artists and not just wrestlers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they added to the canvas, you know, like Rob Van Dam is just so creative and he's just so unique. Only he can do his moveset.
Right.
Can't replicate Rob Van Dam. And that's what I hope to be. I hope to be just someone who is so evidently just making a lane, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember watching his stuff and always being excited to be like, what new thing is he going to try? You know, and exactly. I remember seeing some of the old ECW matches. They'd be like, oh, he said he's going to debut a new move tonight. You know, and you'd be sitting there waiting for it to happen to find out what creative thing that he had come up with. So, yeah, no, Rob.
And that's so cool. Yeah. I remember, yeah, that promo he cut on Taz. Yeah. And he was like, I'm going to debut the Van Daminator. Like, that's cool.
Exactly. Did the Decaffeinator have any influence from that?
From Rob Van Dam?
Yeah.
No, the Decaffeinator. So I actually, I saw somebody, and forgive me, I do not know his name. I saw it on a random clip.
Okay.
Somebody in pro wrestling, Noah.
Uh-huh.
They didn't do the Decaffeinator, but they had them hooked the same way, and they just did a roll up.
Okay.
And I was just thinking, I was like, man, what if instead of a roll up, what if he just did a front flip and just dropped him on their neck?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I just tried it one day. And I was like, I was looking for a move to call the Decaffeinator. I kind of already had like
the names
for everything. I've been looking for a move to call a shot of espresso, something I can knock people out with, you know?
Okay.
Because that's just such a, and that just feels right. A shot of espresso, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
And then, same with the Decaffeinator. I tried it
uh-huh.
a couple times and I'm like, this feels right. And it kind of sounds like Decapitator.
It does, yeah. And it looks great when you do it too, so.
Thank you. And it's a fun move. I wanted a move, you know, I can do on anybody because, right. You know, I'm pretty strong, but I wrestle a lot of people like way bigger than me. So I don't want to blow my back out trying to barista bomb them.
I get it. So, yeah.
So I want a move that I can catch them with, I can hit them with, but that's still cool.
Yeah.
And most importantly, I wanted something that nobody else does.
Right.
I didn't want to do, you know, a rock bottom or sling blade, you know, no disrespect to anybody that does any of those. These are all great moves. And,
right.
You know, everyone's inspired by something. Everything comes from something. Like I modified a move I saw for the Decaffeinator.
Yeah.
But I just wanted something you don't see every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to kind of talk about a couple things that have come up with you. AEW. You were recently on there and the crowd was chanting for you, you know, what was that like and how was that the feeling of having all those people chanting your name?
It's like a fever dream. I honestly couldn't sleep for like the next 2 days.
Really?
I don't know if it's just from all the coffee I drank backstage at catering or just from just the surrealness of it all. It was great. Definitely one of the best experiences of my life. Just can't believe it. You know, even now, like when I look back and watch the clip, like, wow, I can't believe I wrestled the Young Bucks, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know, I haven't been doing this very long, so it was definitely a blessing.
Right.
But, you know, when I got in the ring and just seeing the crowd, you know, I didn't want to look at the crowd for too long or try to look at people I knew because I would have started tearing up.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the beginning of that clip, I'm actually like hitting myself and punching myself in the cheek to kind of like lock in because I would almost tear it up a bit when they're chanting my name. And they were chanting my name, then I got tagged, and then it got louder, and they were just like, yeah. And like when they popped, I was like, oh my gosh. You know, like I'm wrestling two legends right now.
Right. Yep.
You know, and they're chanting my name.
Right.
You know, so it made me really just grateful and for just Oklahoma. And I'm really glad that, you know, they're rooting for me and right. they want me to succeed.
Yeah.
You know, and I just felt so much love and I just couldn't believe it. Even if they would have been booing me, that still would have been a surreal moment. And the fact that they cheered and they chanted the whole match through, and it was just great. And it couldn't have been any better.
So how long after you got there did you find out that you were actually going to be on television that night?
Found out about – I had been there for about 3 to 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
Got there at about 1 p.m., you know, just doing shenanigans. And then
– Yeah.
Yeah, I just end up finding out, like, hey, me and – you know, they picked me and another guy. Like, you got a tag match? We're walking. And he's like, you're wrestling the Young Bucks. And I was like, oh my gosh. All that All that coffee I drank up until that point, I started to feel every heartbeat of it. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, no way. It was a lot of excitement too. I couldn't stop smiling, like,
yeah,
in my head. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, what? Like, you know.
Yeah. So exactly how much coffee do you consume then in a day?
It depends on the day.
Okay.
I try. Who am I kidding? I drink a lot of coffee, man. I drink a lot of coffee. I can't even tell you. Some days, about 7-8 cups.
Yeah. Wow. You're giving my wife a run for her money, and good Lord, she can drink a cup of coffee and go to bed even.
Some days. Oh, drink a coffee and go to bed? That's wild.
Yeah.
Is she drinking decaf?
No.
Oh, good. We'd have a problem.
No, there's no decaf in this house.
Good. We'd have a problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, I drink a lot of coffee. When I'm chill and you know I don't want to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
I try to keep it under 500 milligrams.
There you go. Yeah.
So about 2.5 cups, maybe, you know.
Okay.
I drink a lot of black coffee.
Do you? Okay. That's what I prefer. If I'm going to have a cup of coffee in the morning, it's just straight.
Same.
Yeah.
We're just real men.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
They're not ready for that convo, though.
That's right.
Wait, what were you about to say?
I was going to say, have you tried the black raffle? Ah! They have the 300 milligram black rifle coffees.
Oh yeah,
and the can.
Black Rifle's good.
Have you tried
Black Rifle's good? Yes, amazing.
Yeah, they're good. All right, go ahead with what you're saying. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Maybe I need to move, or maybe I should start calling myself the Black Rifle.
Hey, look at that. Yeah, I like it. Yeah,
Black Rifle. If you're watching, money coming your way. And, yeah, but I was just going to say that black coffee, I feel like it wakes me up more.
Yes, definitely.
Like it hits faster and it's stronger. And like when I'm drinking a sugary drink from Starbucks, which I love Starbucks, but I drink it too fast because it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I'm sipping on black coffee, I mean, it's an acquired taste, but like
it is.
I wouldn't say it tastes good. You know? It tastes like coffee. Like it doesn't taste bad,
right?
But it's just what you need, you know. Like,
yeah.
But I'm not like, I can't wait to have this tasty cup of black coffee, you know. Like, that's definitely not like what it is, but it's not bad at all. I definitely look forward to it, but it's kind of just like you get to sip on it, you know.
Yep. So there is one that I really, and I keep because we have one of those ninjas in our house that does like the K cups or the full cup or full pot of coffee. And I like the Great Value breakfast blend. I actually think that one is like this tastes good.
Really?
Yeah.
Not to try it.
It's probably one of my it's my go-to, I would say.
Great Value breakfast blend. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I had something that just came to mind. You know, we've already talked about Stone Cold a little bit and stuff.
Oh.
And you know how he does I had a beer. I had another beer. The crowd's whatting, you know, and you could do I had a cup of black coffee. I had a cappuccino, you know.
Oh, you are brewing. You are brewing right now. Okay. Hey, if they ever what me,
yeah,
it's wraps.
There you go.
It's wraps.
So you were at WrestleMania weekend, weren't you? You said that you were backstage whenever when WrestleMania was going on?
I was up to some shenanigans.
You were up to shenanigans, okay.
Yeah, I was up to some shenanigans.
Yeah. What was that like?
It was very motivating, very cool.
Yeah.
It was very, very, very cool. Just surreal. One of those moments where I'm just like, can't believe I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was actually my first WrestleMania.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And, you know, it felt good because I'm like, I'm not at WrestleMania 39.
Yeah.
I'm not at WrestleMania 41. I'm at WrestleMania 40.
Exactly.
It felt grand, you know?
Yep. Yep.
Biggest WrestleMania ever.
Exactly. It was my son's first one to actually sit down and watch it with me. And afterwards, he was like, Dad, I think I'm a wrestling fan now.
Really?
Yep. So,
That's a great
such one. Such a big moment for me.
Wow. How old's your son?
He's 12.
Oh, that's cool. Perfect age.
Yep. He's been around it his entire life. I've loved wrestling forever. In fact, whenever he was born, the day after, that night was TNA Impact. And while his mom was sleeping, I'm sitting there holding him, watching that at the hospital where we were at. So it's been in his life this entire time. He's went to Diamond State Wrestling shows with me. He's went to other ones as well in the area. But WrestleMania, whenever it's funny because, you know, I mean, he's 12. So the thing that grabbed him in, he's always loved Kevin Owens. But then he saw Kevin Owens was facing Logan Paul for the United States Championship. And he loves Prime. So he's like, all right, I got to watch this. And so he sat down and ended up watching all of it with me. And it was a really cool moment. He didn't get to watch on Sunday the main event, because it was a school night. And so whenever he came back to my house on Wednesday, he was like, we're going to watch that main event. He's like, but don't spoil it for me. Because he's like, I know you already watched it. So we actually had like another little WrestleMania moment that Wednesday night where me and him got to watch the main event. So
yeah. That's cool. Wrestling is so cool. That's amazing.
It is. It is. So I'm a very proud papa right now when it comes to that.
Yeah. Man, like, and then a story that's just so good that, you know, has him invested, and
yeah,
that's the goal.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's not why he watched. You know, he watched because he wanted to see the Logan Paul, and then he's like, well, this is really interesting. And then he watched, you know, the first main event with The Rock, because he knew who The Rock was. Everybody knows who The Rock is, and so he's like, oh wow, I want to know what happens next. You know, so
yeah, wow,
so. Do you have any goals set for this next year?
I have some goals. I want to wrestle outside the country.
Okay.
I want to take a trip to Europe, or, you know, and just see what I can do, even if it's just training out there. I just want to get uncomfortable in that aspect. I want to learn. I want to learn something new. Want to learn a new style.
Yeah.
So that's a big goal of mine. I'd like to make some debuts. I really want to wrestle for Deadlock Pro.
Okay.
Deadlock is really like what they're doing. There's a promotion called Ashe, like ASE. The S has an apostrophe, or maybe the E has an apostrophe. One of them have an apostrophe.
There's apostrophe there somewhere.
it's a really cool brand. Really cool promotion coming from North Carolina. Very, very artistic promotion. I've been following them for a couple months now, and I'd like to get over there, just in the North Carolina area in general.
Yeah,
but as far as goals, yeah, I really just want to learn more and keep on traveling and keep on just meeting new people, learning new things, and just try. It's hard not to worry about, like, oh man, am I going to be here? Am I going to be there? How am I going to get there? You know.
Yeah.
So I really just want to like. Stay present and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I get that.
Because I really, you know, it's this really cliche saying, you know, but the journey is more, you know, is more fun than the destination.
Yeah.
Not always, you know, it's not always fun, but in the end, you know, when you get to your destination, at least when you feel like you're at your destination for a moment,
yeah,
you're gonna remember what brought you there. So, right. Yeah, I really enjoy these moments.
Well, the journey is what makes you who you are.
Exactly.
Yep.
Just look at Cody Rhodes.
Yep. Do you have any hobbies?
Yes. I love to read. I love to make music, make beats and play guitar. And, you know, I just love art. I love to draw. I love art.
Okay.
So I've always been an artist. Even like I was a wrestling fan as a kid, but even along with wrestling, I always loved art too. So
yeah,
those are two things, and they two things that go very hand in hand with each other. So
true.
And one of my friends is a cinematographer.
Oh,
very talented. Yeah, and another one of my friends, he's an actor.
Oh, cool.
So I've really gotten into just the film world recently.
Uh-huh.
Just by being around them a lot. So yeah, I'd like to take on like some acting ventures or some acting classes if I could, you know.
That'd be cool.
Going to that field, yeah. I know that can play a good part in wrestling.
Yeah. I mean it definitely helps with building, you know, in psychology and the acting side of it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. What kind of stuff do you like to draw?
I like to draw. So I actually like to draw like people, like, like not, they're not like super detailed. They're like kind of cartoony, but, you know, before I started training, I would draw Cappuccino Jones like all the time. I would always draw like just a wrestler with an afro and elbow pads. And yeah.
Right.
Even my signature now, like when I'm at shows and I'm signing like 8x10s, my signature is just a cappuccino cup that I draw.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, I love to, so obviously I love to draw cappuccinos.
Okay.
I love to draw people though the most.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I love to draw like full body people.
I got you.
I always end up making them wrestlers. Like I'll be drawing a person with like a collared shirt, and I'll be like, "He needs some elbow pads." Looks like my little Mikey Whipwreck.
Yeah. Well, I asked because I work with a comic book company out of Little Rock, so they make all kinds of different superhero comics and stuff like that.
Really?
So, yeah. So
you know, I would love to make a Cappuccino Jones comic book.
That would be cool. I would like to see that.
Maybe I'll draw up some concepts one day.
There you go. I know people, so
whoa, what's going on? We're brewing.
There we go.
We're foreshadowing.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite fan interaction or a fan moment?
That's a great question. No one's ever asked me that before. Favorite fan interaction. There's been a lot of great ones. It's a great question, but it's a hard question. Let's see. Yes. There was, I used to work at the airport in Tulsa.
Okay.
And when I was like 18 or so, and there was a guy who I worked with, and he was a bit older than me. Turns out he was a wrestling fan. So we he figured out, you know what it's like when you meet a wrestling fan. You guys just talk about wrestling all the
exactly.
You know. So yeah, we kind of just bonded on that at work, and we'd talk about wrestling every day. And I ended up telling him, I was like, yeah, like I wanna be a pro wrestler. Like I'm really like early want to get training like as soon as I can. And he's like, man, that's sick. I hope you do. And then I ended up leaving that job and I don't really ever talk to him again. And then one day I wrestle. Are you familiar with UWE?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the one day I wrestle at UWE and I just happens to be the show where I win the UWE championship.
Cool.
And here comes this guy who I worked with at the airport saying, "Oh my gosh, no way." So yeah. So the fact that like, it was just a full circle moment. I'm like, wow. Like the last time we talked, I was like, man, I want to be a pro wrestler. And then he was able to see me not only as a pro wrestler, but winning a title just,
right.
You know, yeah, it was just a full circle for both of us. Just like, oh my gosh, you know? So that's a good one. Also this past weekend, I wrestled at WFC Wrestling for a Cause. And there was the show was for this kid named Silas.
Uh-huh.
And after my match, another wrestler and myself, we let him get in the ring and just got to, you know, let him get on our shoulders and have his little moment. And that was really cool. I was just thinking, like, I was very present in the moment. I was just thinking, like, wow, this is cool. This is cooler than, you know, this is cooler than all the things you think are cool in wrestling. It's like a little moments like this that really, like, that really matter.
Definitely.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
I love stuff like that.
I love everything that WFC does, you know, the things that they do for these families are just amazing, you know, and it's a great group of people that they have working over there.
For sure. For sure. A lot of great talent.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've had pretty much everybody who's worked there on the show, you know?
So, yeah.
Yeah. I know quite a few of those guys, but they, you know, they're all great. And, you know, having Tim on, talking to him about everything that's going on and everything he's doing is really cool.
Yeah. It's been going, you know, for about 13 years now, 12, 13 years.
13 years, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. 13 years. Yes. That's cool.
Yeah, definitely. So we are kind of coming up close to a close here. I have just a few more questions for you before I get you off of here. Do you have anything that maybe is coming up that you want to talk about?
Diamond State this weekend.
Yep.
I have a couple of things, actually, before I get to Diamond State. April 20th at Spade and Jada Tattoo Shop. I'm having a dumpster match. First ever dumpster match. Yeah, it's going to be really fun. A tag team dumpster match, Matt, I had.
Okay.
Yeah, myself and Tyler Midas versus Subject to Death.
Okay.
Yeah, and so
what does that include, a dumpster match? What, like, what are the rules on one of those?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, if I'm being honest. I guess the first team to put the other team inside a dumpster and close and lock the lid wins. But my question is, does it have to be both members at the same time? Does it have to be one and then they can get out and then the other one and then it's over? But I guess we're going to find out, you know. I really like to just wing it in life. So
yeah, just make sure you drink plenty of coffee. Yeah.
Oh, you know, that's a given. And so yeah, I'm going to look forward to that. It's going to be a really cool show because I know there's going to be a lot of non-wrestling fans there, at least not your typical wrestling fans. There's a lot of casual fans just coming because there's a big convention. There's going to be a bunch of vendors and some contests.
Okay. So,
I really value the opinion of people who don't watch wrestling.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you can get them to get into it, then, you know, then you can get anybody.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so I love that. Then, yeah, Diamond State. I'm in a triple threat tag team match with Bartos Kinda Locos and TNT.
Oh. Well, the Dudley sons, right?
Yeah, the 2Ds.
Yeah.
The 1.5Ds.
Yeah. Yeah.
they're gonna hit a 1.5D on us. No, just kidding, just kidding. Just kidding. No, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it though. Never met them, never been in the ring with them before, but I know we're not getting hit with the 3D. I don't know if they do the 3D, but if they try to do a 3D on us, we're prepared.
There you go.
Romeo Reis and I are prepared. But I'm gonna take on my inner Paul Heyman and tell you that this is not a prediction, this is a spoiler. Sui and Low will be your new Diamond State Wrestling Tag Team Champions.
Right on. Yeah, I look forward to seeing that.
In quotations, I hope. We'll see. But let's see, what else we got coming up? April, then Core, I'm the current reigning and defending 918 champion. I'm going to be in a triple threat with Johnny Cove and Riley Grinn.
Okay.
And Riley Grinn was one of those wrestlers I was telling you about in the very beginning of this convo that I trained with back in the day.
Yeah.
But unfortunate for Riley Grinn, I've surpassed him. And he may have, you know, he may have been there my first day when I didn't know jack squat. But now I'm going to wake him up with a shot of espresso if he thinks he's going to put my title reign to sleep. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Man, I like it.
Yeah. So, the bunch of exciting ventures coming on. And then I got a couple debuts I'm making in the summer.
Okay.
In Texas. I'm kind of in and out in Texas. But yeah, I really want to get out more. I want to wrestle being in Philadelphia really inspired me to want to wrestle on the east side a little more.
Okay.
And I really want to get in New Jersey, New York, and Boston, you know, just venture out. Really want to be everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe make your way across the into the Great White North, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I know there's a ton of wrestling fans up there.
Yeah, that would be super fun.
Yeah. So if people want to follow you online, how can they do that?
You can follow me on Instagram at Cappuccino Jones. That is 2 P's and 2 C's. Don't have shame in not knowing how to spell it. I know it is. People always ask me, like, how do you spell cappuccino? It's 2 P's, 2 C's.
No.
Yeah, Cappuccino Jones on Instagram. Twitter at Cold Brew Jones. And TikTok at Cold Brew Cappuccino Jones.
All right.
Probably the most active on Instagram and Twitter. But okay. Yeah, you might see some clips of here and there on TikTok, you know?
All right. And do you have any final thoughts, something you want to say to my listeners before I get you off of here?
All I want to say is you don't get the caffeine without the crash. So now this convo is officially ending.
All right, man. Well, it has been great talking to you tonight, and I can't wait to see you wrestle again.
Hey, man. It's been a pleasure and honor, for real. I'm really, really blessed to be able to do things like this. So, yeah, I'm really, really thankful for the opportunity, and can't wait to run into you again. And will you be at Diamond State?
I'm going to try to be there this weekend. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it or not, but I'm definitely going to try.
Okay, sounds good. I know we'll cross paths again. So.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. Well, all thank right. you, man.
All right. Well, I will talk to you more after I end this recording. But have a good night, and I will talk to you next time.
All right. Yes, sir. You the same.
Wrestling fans, join us for the Diamond State Flawless TV recordings live in front of a studio audience. Every 2 weeks, join us in the Diamond Dome for the best live independent wrestling. Diamond State Wrestling is on the road to crowning the second annual King and Queen of Diamonds. You never know what's going to happen or what you'll see in Diamond State Wrestling. The show is called Flawless. It's every other Sunday at the Diamond Dome in Springdale, Arkansas, in the Next Level Soccer Center. Doors open at 3 o'clock with bell time at 4. Tickets start at $10 for general admission and $5 for children. For more information, check out DiamondStateWrestling.com.
Fascinating people, fascinating places returns. I talk to Eric Maddox, the man responsible for capturing Saddam Hussein, attorney Jason Wright, whose career was rocked when he was tasked with defending September 11th mastermind, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. I speak with experts about human trafficking, the death of Princess Diana, the legacy of Scott of Antarctica. I talk with a TV celebrity who abandoned stardom for the simple life, chat with astronaut Jim Weatherby, and much, much more. Please subscribe so you don't miss out on any of the action.
Hello, person listening to this ad break. If you like the silky sound of my voice and you want to know more about the things I know about, head on over to the Zeta to Hero podcast. We listen to my brother and myself wobble and bicker about little things and nuances of nerd culture. Like, is Rocky really the true hero of the Power Rangers universe? Is Jason the best Red Ranger? Or is Gundam Wing the best Gundam series? Come on over and enjoy yourself and be angry when you leave.
All right. Well, that was another great episode with Jared. I just want to thank Cappuccino Jones for coming out on the show and talking with Jared and telling us a little bit about him. Seems like a great, fun guy. And you never know what's in store with Cappuccino Jones. So make sure that you stick listening to the show. Maybe there'll be some announcements in the future about that. I don't know. I don't work here. I'm just here temporary. But yeah, so speaking of episodes, next week will be an off week. There will not be a new episode next week. As Jared is going to, you know, probably still be recuperating, and apparently he doesn't trust me enough to interview anyone. So I don't know what that means about our friendship, but I am going to think long and hard about that going forward, since he didn't ask me to just record his next interview. But that's neither here nor there. And so that is a perfect time for you to go back and listen to all the great episodes that you might have missed out on. Including any episode that I am on, because why not? I've been on there, like, been here 4 times on an episode, and this is my first episode hosting. So now I've been on here 5 times. So suck it, anyone not been here this many times. Anyway, do you like the music that comes on at the end of the episode? Of course you do. It's kind of catchy. It's from D-Cure. He supplied that music to Jared for the episode. You can find D-Cure on all those platforms that you listen to music on. And, you know, he's going through, I know Jared's mentioned that he's going through the alphabet on albums. And I believe that Jared said that he was on O. So, see, I listened to the episodes too. And that wasn't even in my notes. So, let's see. We got some live events coming up, which you can catch Jared at. Or not catch Jared at, for Original Geek. We have, of course, Jared is very happy and honored to be working with Original Geek Comics. They put his ad in The Paladin and The Eighth Day. And the new issue that we have coming out, Vengeance Issue 3. If you want to know more about Original Geek, follow us on all your socials platforms. And see our new books coming out. But we're doing some live events. We have the Vengeance 3 release, which will be coming out May 8th. And we'll have a release event at Kapow Comics in Sherwood, Arkansas on May the 11th for that. Come out and see us if you're in the area. And then you can catch Jared at our next event after that, which will be May 17th through 19th. We'll be in Chattanooga, Tennessee for MetrothamCon. The 5th annual MetrothamCon there in Chattanooga. A lot of big guests there. David Yost, the Blue Power Ranger, will be there. Lou Ferrigno, a lot of voice actors. Disney princesses, voice actors. And lots of fun stuff. But, of course, Original Geek will be there. We will be a guest as well. So we're super honored for that. They've asked us to do a couple panels. So Jared will be hosting a panel with us on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we'll be doing a character creation contest. And so that's going to be fun. Speaking of panels, we have a new show that's going to be coming out, a podcast going to be hosted by Jared. It's called Beyond the Panels, Original Geek Beyond the Panels. And you'll be able to hear Jared if you really like hearing Jared's voice a lot, if that's just something that, you know, tickles your fancy. And you can hear Jared on that. Going forward, we've already recorded the first episode when we were in Paris, Texas, for PTX Con, which Jared, during this off week, will be editing that episode. So you probably can listen to that soon. So be checking the socials for Original Geek, and of course the socials for If You Give a Dad a Podcast, where you can find Jared. And his podcast information on all of the social media platforms. If you're like, wow, that's a lot of social media platforms, are you going to rattle them all off? And the correct answer is no, I'm not going to rattle them off. But in the show notes, you can find the link tree for If You Give a Dad a Podcast, which will have the way you can find all the socials. Very convenient, very easy for you. Don't forget all the podcast networks that Jared's a part of. The IOW podcast. I'm going to have to look this up because I want to make sure I get these right, okay? The Avenue podcast, the OIW. I said the IOW. Please don't sue me, OIW. I don't actually work here. I'm a volunteer. Remember, the Avenue podcast network. Of course, Zio to Hero podcast network. That's 3 full podcast networks that you can find not only If You Give a Dad a Podcast on, but a lot of other great audio things to listen to on there as well. So check out those. Don't forget to rate and review if you're listening on one of those platforms that allows you to do that, like iTunes or something like that. If you have the ability, rate and review, because boosting up This show is what you should be doing with your rate and reviews, so that way more people can listen to it. That way he can have on lots of other great guests that he's had. He's had some real good big people on here, and then all kinds of stuff. So don't forget to subscribe as well on all those audio platforms as well. Don't just listen, follow, subscribe, whatever you got to do, whatever the button tells you on that particular audio platform that you're hearing my voice talking from right now. Make sure you hit that button so that way you can get all the updates when new episodes drop and you can listen to them. And so, let me read these notes here. Now it is time for Billy's favorite part of the show. Dad joke of the week. What is Forrest Gump's computer password? 1 Force 1. Okay.
Wow.
All right. All right, guys. Well, oh man, I can't believe I did that. I'm sorry, Billy. Please don't hate me as much as y'all hate Jared.
You stay over there. You get back. You get back right now.
I'm done with this guy.
Get over there.
I'm bad. I'm hard
no,
guy.
Bad.
Let me out.
I'm getting the spray bottle. I'm getting the spray bottle.
Anyway, guys, as Jared ends the show like normal, I mean, I'm not going to tell you that I love you like he does, because I feel like we're not in that place right now. So maybe we could just start at friends, maybe some hand-holding, maybe some over-the-cover stuff. I don't know. But we're not going to say love right now. But I will see you next time that Jared allows me to be on here. And if not, I guess you'll just start listening to Jared every week as you normally have. But thanks so much. Have a good day. Bye.
If you give a dad a podcast, then what else would you even want to listen to? It's old news. If you give a dad a podcast, then it would be of you to give it a spin or two. I'll go to your room.
I'm in my room grounded, but I got a podcast on. He calls us beautiful people, then tells us who we have on. The best part of my day, though we're blocked out in my pods. Tell my friends all about it so that they follow along. And the host is kinda nerdy, but guess what, I am as well. I don't feel so alone, and I began walking out of my shell. Heard a story, I need a connection I haven't felt. I'll be looking for the next one, till then farewell.
It's the podcast for me. Have it on, better go see. Listen closely, download and tune in remotely. It's the podcast for me. Have it on, better go see. And listen closely, download and tune in remotely.
This podcast is part of the OIW Podcasting Network.
All right, cool, sweet. Baby Jesus. Okay, cool.